Welcome to episode 65 of Published. Today we're talking to publishing guide and book launch coach Scott James about how books become Amazon bestsellers. Scott explains how he helps authors plan successful book launches and bestseller campaigns and how this can add value to your book promotion strategy.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. Many authors want the distinction of being labeled a bestseller, but aren't sure how to get there. Trying to become a bestseller can seem like a complicated or elusive process when you're going it alone, but Scott explains how it all works for the Amazon lists in today's episode. From pre-sales to Amazon reviews, Scott goes over what is and isn't important when trying to reach a bestseller list. He'll also talk about how to find your appropriate Amazon categories and which mistakes to avoid when planning your book release and building your Amazon listing. In this episode, Scott leans on his expertise as a book launch coach and publishing advisor and discusses how he helps authors reach strong sales and rankings with their books and how you can do the same. Let's get into the interview.
All right, Scott, welcome to Published.
Very nice to be here. Great to see you, Tanya.
Yeah, likewise. Well, let's start off by having you tell folks a bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah. My name is Scott James. I'm a publishing guide and a book launch coach. And essentially, I just like to support especially independent authors to go from idea to published. And then also, I like to think about it like give the book the launch it deserves. You worked, you know, for 2 years on it. Let's give it a good jump start out of the gate.
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah. In the best scenario, right?
Right. Yeah. If you did it quickly. Yes.
Yeah. No kidding. And I'm going to apologize to everybody in advance. Scott knows I had COVID recently and my voice is intermittent, yes. But we'll try to power through. Okay. So today we're talking about Amazon bestsellers.
Yes.
And to kind of lay the groundwork here for our listeners, for those who are unfamiliar, what does it mean to be an Amazon bestseller?
Yeah. Well, that is an excellent question. And I'll preface this by saying there's a whole lot of debate around what that answer is. So, but the easiest answer is to say that if you're the number one book in any category on Amazon's website, you'll get a little orange flag that says number one bestseller. And that means that you're the bestseller in that category. Then there are, I'd say, other versions of that. For instance, there's an overall list out of every book on Amazon, and you need to be selling, you know, thousands and thousands of books per day to be that number one on all of the Amazon charts. And then there's also a way to look at it where the top 100 books in each category are going to be listed on as one of the best sellers in that category. So there's sort of a gradient, I guess. But the easiest definition is the number one book in each of Amazon's up to 2,000 subcategories is considered a bestseller.
Okay. And we're going to talk in a moment about why we might care about that. But as long as we're talking about quantities and numbers and tactics, so how many sales should a person generally expect to have to receive to accomplish this bestseller status? And are there other factors that go into this status, such as reviews, ratings, so forth?
Yes. Well, the preface to that answer is nobody knows 100% for sure, because this is a secret Amazon algorithm. And of course, if everybody knew exactly the recipe, it would be much easier to game it or do things like that. So with that caveat said, primarily, what's going to make you a bestseller is selling the most books. So if you move the most units, you know, in a 24-hour period, that's going to be the biggest factor. And then remind me the specifics of your question.
Yeah. So what are the other factors that might influence achieving that status, whether it's reviews and ratings, et cetera?
The biggest one is, I'm going to call it velocity. Meaning if you have zero sales and then all of a sudden you have 200 sales, that's looked upon less favorably than if it's slightly more gradual, even if it's over a couple of days. You don't want to go so far that it's so gradual that it's spread out over like a month or 2 months where you're not getting a volume of sales in a day. But sometimes I'll work with folks and they'll want to have everybody go buy the book at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday. And that advice is out there. And that's not necessarily a great idea. But having, you know, like a 72-hour push over your launch day, for example, is really good as opposed to a 3-month drawn out pre-order campaign. Which has other benefits, but specifically for Amazon bestseller, not as great. Reviews are a factor, although they are not a huge determinant in the ranking as it moves around day to day. As time goes on, it's a much bigger factor in how well the book shows up in search results and how sustainable your sales are. So I'd say during the launch period, the biggest thing is sales, like just unit sales. And then very quickly after, within, you know, a few days or a week, you want the reviews to be going up. Amazon will notice that. You want them to be verified reviews, meaning people who bought the book on Amazon and then reviewed it on Amazon. And you want traffic, you know, how many people are going to your book page. So all of those seem to come into play. And then there are a whole bunch of supporting factors, like how your book description is written, keywords, things like that, about how you structure it. And we could do a whole nother podcast just on all the strategies there. But the main thing is book sales, followed quickly by concentration of book sales, and then followed by reviews and traffic to the page.
Okay.
That's my assessment.
I like it. And so, excuse me, there's obviously a lot of hard work and strategy going into achieving bestseller status. Why does an author care? What value does that bring to a book on Amazon?
There's a lot of reasons to care. And on one hand, you know, I've found that it's a very nice crystallizing goal for people when you're planning your book launch, because there's a lot of things that you could do, but for most people, just the reality of personal bandwidth, there's only a few things that you should do. And this is a very nice, tangible, concrete goal. So even before any of the results, I find that it has this really nice crystallizing effect for people to just say, all right, this is where I want people to buy my book on Amazon because it has the widest reach. And I want people to buy it during, you know, my launch week. And so it gives you something to plan around and something to focus all of the attention and activity around. So that said, if you are in the top 10 or so, top 20 of a category, Amazon's going to notice. So I'd say the number one benefit is not actually being the number one book. The number one benefit of being sort of doing a bestseller run is being in a top ranked book in one or more categories that your target audience is shopping in or browsing or pays attention to. And a big reason for this is because when you're able to get your book highly ranked, Amazon will take notice if you can maintain that ranking over time. And they'll start to do things on your behalf because Amazon is an e-commerce store. And so they notice that you're selling. They want to help you because they see that people are buying your book and it becomes a virtuous cycle. So if you sell well consistently, you know, for days, weeks, months, Amazon will start to recommend your book to other people who shop in those categories. Sometimes people will be following a category on Amazon and you might be included in like a hot new release email. You might be in those carousels further down the page. So all of those are the really big, meaty benefits because they put you in front of an audience that isn't yours. You know, these are not your friends and family going to buy a book on launch day. This is people who are looking for a book on leadership or people who are looking for a fiction book in your genre. So being able to pick out of the hundreds and thousands of categories on Amazon, the ones where your target audience is, that's the biggest benefit. Secondary to that, but flashier, is if you can be a number one bestseller, you can put it in your bio. You can talk about it. It's going to be, you know, something that you can claim forever. And that's really valuable if you're someone who's using your book to pivot or to build a speaking career, if you're trying to have the kind of bio that is noticeable and draws attention for somebody, you know, a client or a business. So it has all kinds of concrete benefits, like trackable benefits with sales, traffic, et cetera. And then it also has these harder to track or more intangible benefits where it just bolsters your reputation, your thought leadership bio.
Yeah. And you mentioned, of course, Amazon's an e-commerce site, but I often tell people, additionally, think of it as a search engine, because it is.
Yes.
And this then is SEO for this search engine that is very powerful because you can buy from it.
Totally. And I'll yes and you on that one. I also like to say that ranking well in relevant categories over time is a very powerful brand building gesture. You know, if your book is ranking well when people go to look at it, it's part of your product details, you know, the three categories that you're ranking the best in. So if you tell new folks or you give a talk and you send people to your Amazon site, if you have three reviews and you're number, you know, 2000 in some category, not that impressive. But if you have 45 reviews and, you know, you've maintained like a number 40 ranking in multiple relevant categories, it helps vet you essentially. So it's good for your brand in that way.
Yeah, definitely. So big picture, what are the strategies that you use when you're working with authors to hit a bestsellers list?
Yeah. I love talking about this. So as you can tell, I could go all day, but the biggest thing is you got to pick the right categories. And then the second biggest thing is you need to work with all your supporters, I call it rallying your network, in the different ways that they can help you best. So you want to first position your book in the right categories. And the secret there is that each book gets uploaded automatically to two categories when it's added to Amazon. But if you know who to talk to and how to find them, you can discover up to 8 more categories that you can personally or your publisher can add your book to. And I'm always surprised to find out that a lot of people don't know this, including marketing people at other publishing companies, obviously not at Greenleaf, but
obviously.
And then the big thing is, you know, what do you do? Who do you tell? And how do you rally your network? And how do you rally or how do you reach out to people who you don't know? And so there's, you know, months and months of strategic work that can really move the needle on all of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've been talking so far in the context of a book launch, books mm-hmm. that are upcoming. What about an author who's already published? What can they do to improve their bestseller ranking, if anything, on Amazon?
Well, there's a lot you can do. And I would say just do a category audit. That would be the first thing. You know, just go to your book page and see what categories your book is currently showing up for. Click on them, look at what else is in that category. Are those your competitors? Are those the folks that you want to be next to? And then dig in. Is there, like, Amazon organizes its categories in a hierarchy. So are there other categories underneath that? Are there subcategories that are more relevant? So would you be better served being in that subcategory where you might rank better, where you might be next to books that are, you know, closer to your subject matter? So that's the first thing. But you can look at, you know, how does your description compare to other books in your that you would consider competitors or genres? Maybe you should update your description using all kinds of copywriting tricks. Maybe taking a look at your keywords is going to, you know, give you more traffic. So essentially just doing a basic audit, you know, what are my categories? Why did I pick them? Are they still the best ones for me? What are my keywords? Why did I pick them? Are they still the best ones for me? And then finding either a person or one of the many tools out there to help you, you know, learn as much as you can about your choices.
And you mentioned categories, and I'm sorry if this question gets a little bit down in the weeds, but I imagine folks are wondering, So what is the quote right category? Is it the most accurate category for my content, or is there a way to assess a category in terms of relative competition within the category to select it that way? Or is it a balance?
Yeah, it's definitely a balance. Like I say, you get to add up to 8 more categories. So the way I think about it is you're working with, up to 10 categories. And so you can take a couple of them, one or two, and basically look for where do I have a really good shot at hitting number one, and then take the other 6 or 3 or 4 of the other ones and say, where is there really high traffic? Like maybe I won't be selling, 300 books a day, like some of the books in that category, but based on what I can learn and just derive from the rankings of the book in that category, I can probably be in the top 50 pretty consistently. And that means that if people are going to that category, buying other books in really high numbers, you're going to have a pretty high likelihood of being in their recommendation, carousels further down the page, or while they're going to that book, your book is going to show up, or they're somehow, it just, all of it builds on itself. So when you pick a category, it's not just, oh, I'm going to pick some random, category that's a huge stretch for my book, just so I can hit number one. I think in the publishing industry, it's good for all of us to, we got to be ethical about it, and choose the categories that do fit our book. But also, it's not really even to your advantage to pick a category that doesn't fit, because if it's really easy to rank number one, then you won't get any benefit from it, even if you did rank number one in like some category about, that nobody visits or something. So that's the way I think about it. Pick categories that are a combination of medium to high traffic with openings. Like a lot of times I'll look at it, maybe the number one book in that category is selling 1,000 books a day, but the number 5 book in that category is selling 22 books a day. Like there's a lot of business categories like that. And you can get a lot of visibility by being in the top 10 of that category over time, not just at your launch. And that's just as valuable as rocketing to number one in any particular category.
Mm-hmm. You talked about some of the things that authors should do. What are the mistakes that you see authors make when they're angling towards trying to optimize their Amazon page, or especially if they're hoping to become a bestseller?
Yeah. I mean, the number one is not understanding the process. People will, their friend said this, like they'll take second or third hand information and try to like build a strategy around it, which is a problem. So certainly you want to do your research. But once people have done that, even then, a big mistake I see people make is overemphasizing the number one, like the quest for number one. It's awesome to hit it, and it's a concrete thing, and you can brag about it forever. And I'm not trying to downplay that, but once you do that, it's kind of like then the next day, what's happening the next day? Because your book, it lasts for basically forever. You spent 2 years on this. Hitting number one on any list is less important than how durable is this book, how many people can it get in front of, how consistent and long-term can my sales be? So that's one. And then specific to the Amazon bestseller run, I'd say I'm going to call it a mistake I see people make is overemphasizing pre-orders. And that's because the advice to really go after pre-orders is all over the place. And that really helps. Basically, pre-orders stack up and then they all get counted the week your book is released for the big lists like New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today. But for Amazon, anytime somebody buys your book, it counts right then. And so if you are sending people for 2 months to go buy your book, you do get all those sales, you get the royalties, etc. But if you're selling, 10 books a day for 2 months and you sell, 250 books, you're going to rank in your categories wherever selling 10 books ranks you for those 2 months, as opposed to if you compress your pre-order period even to 1 week, or if you sort of use your pre-order time not to drive sales, but to get people excited and then unleash all these people who are wanting your book during launch week, then you're going to do a more concentrated volume of those 250 sales. And that's going to give you a lot more visibility right at launch. And so it's, I don't know if it qualifies as a mistake. I view it as a mistake specific to the Amazon platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it depends on your goals, but it could be a mistake. So you've talked a bit about activating an author's network in roundabout terms. When thinking about friends, family, all the folks that we as authors hope to lean on to support us in these types of quests or just to raise our Amazon author profile, how can those folks help?
Well, the biggest way that anybody can help you is to either put your book in front of their audience, if they have an audience, or introduce you to someone who can put your book in front of their audience. So I would say the hardest thing for any author is to get exposure to new potential readers. So if you know someone who has a connection to media or somebody who has a podcast, et cetera, an email list, and those folks have, you know, a similar audience, so there's an overlap of the audience, you know, getting those introductions so that maybe there's a connection and they'll put your book in front of their audience. To me, that's the most important. Aside from that, most people don't have that. So it's really helpful to just, you know, sing the book's praises when it comes out on social media. It's really helpful to go and leave a review. It's really helpful to buy a copy and just tell your friends.
Definitely. And I'll add, having published my own book,
yeah,
it's surprisingly, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not instinctive to turn around and ask your friends to write a review when they tell you how much they enjoyed your book, or even a perfect stranger. And you have to develop your own cadence for this and have it just become an automatic response, even if you're slightly uncomfortable. I'll do it now. I have strangers who reach out on LinkedIn and they say, I picked up your book. It came into my life at the right time. Thank you so much. And my knee-jerk reaction would just be to say, well, thank you so much for taking the time to write me a note, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. But I have to add, would you mind please leaving a review on Amazon if you enjoyed it? And they always are like, oh, of course. It just is, it doesn't occur to them very often. So you've got to ask.
Yeah. One more, I'll yes and you with that too, because that is, it's amazing how challenging it is. And I find friends and family, especially, or colleagues or clients, things like that, everybody's just busy, and giving people reminders help. And the phrasing that I've found people are comfortable with is, I love that you loved my book. The hardest thing for me is to get quality, honest reviews on Amazon. If you want to help me, please go put that book on Amazon. And then you're sort of enrolling the person like onto your team. And so it's a nuance, but I find even authors who are uncomfortable with self-promotion can, you know, get behind this idea of like, well, they already love the book. And now I'm just asking them to help. So it's what you're saying. Same. I run into that all the time. And, just having a phrase ready, for how to ask, is as helpful as having an elevator pitch. And I tell folks that, you know, it's good to have as many reviews as you can at launch. And then a good target is after your launch period, there's always this question of like, what do you do? Well, try to get 100 reviews on Amazon, because 100 reviews is super noticeable. So if you can get to that in a year, you know, you're going to be doing a lot of this just sort of on the ground, grassroots work to get your book out there. And you're going to learn a lot about what people respond to try to hit that number.
Definitely. That's great advice. And obviously, you've coached a lot of authors during their book launches. So as we roll into our conclusion here, is there any other advice that you'd like to offer folks as they get ready for their book launch?
The main thing I tell people is, you know, do a few things really well. So that's number one, do a few things really well. And people always freak out about social media when they're starting a bestseller book launch or any kind of launch campaign. And I would say, you know, 6 months before your book is released, 3 months before your book is released is not the time to start a brand new social media account on Instagram or TikTok and expect that account to move the needle. So rather than saying, oh, my launch is coming up, I really need to start doing 12 more things, I would say, think of it as my launch is coming up, I really need to look at, you know, the groups that I've built and how do I go deeper with them and how do I, you know, rally them? How do I get those folks excited because they already like what I'm doing? And how do I help them help me? How do I give them even more? And how do I make it a big party?
A big party. I love it. Thank you, Scott, so much for joining us today.
You got it.
A wealth of knowledge. I appreciate you.
All right. Great to be here, Tanya. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
That's it for our episode today. We hope you enjoyed learning about Amazon bestseller lists and how you can get your book on one. For notes and resources from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode65.
You can also find advice for writing, publishing, and promoting your work in my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which you can learn more about at ideasinfluenceandincome.com. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. It means a lot to have your feedback and helps us make sure we're answering your publishing questions. A big thank you to Eleanor Fishborn, who produces the published podcast, and we will be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.